Hi, whoever else is in here.
Ryan.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, hi. Meow, meow. Hi, Tuttles. Hi, Brina. Hi, Marty.
Marty, Brina, Tuttles.
So fast.
I'm still, I don't see Troncat giving us his meow. Moon Child, Dawn.
Hi, Moon Child. Hi, Dawn. Good morning, guys. I'm trying to catch up here. All my smiley faces.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Old Man's Podcast Show with Dina, Joe, and Eric.
Good morning.
Coming to you live from across the United States of America, from the state of Washington, down to the state of Georgia, back up with the little stop with the Colorado Avalanche, who quit their first round. Congratulations, Dina Joy.
Thanks.
What a great day. What a great day it is. Tuesday, May 10th. 2022. I don't know what is going on over here in Vancouver, Washington. Got this big fiery ball in the sky that's trying to blind me coming into the studio.
Oh, wow. You
what is
hide.
It? What is
hide.
It?
Hi, Nutter.
Neanderthal.
Neanderthal, Gardner. I knew Gardner. Neanderthal, thank you.
Yeah,
good
baby.
Morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Christine. Hi,
Ryan, hey, Moonchild, Dawn, good to see you. All kinds of people.
Brian Ham.
Brown. Brian Ham. White Ham!
Morning, Anna. Good to see you.
What a great, great day. What a good day. Yeah, the sun is shining. I looked outside. I glanced outside the window and blinded myself. I can't see nothing.
Oh,
I can't
no.
see nothing. I can't see my computer screens or anything. Everything is just, I'm blinded. Blinded
by the light. The words that are always wrong. They always say it's a douche, but it's not a douche.
Yeah.
Deuce. That's it. Deuce.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. Good times. Welcome, everybody. Hope you're all having a good time. Seems like it. We are. Hey, grab a cup of coffee. Come on in and sit down and join the club.
Yeah, cheers.
Cheers. Mm-hmm. I'm sipping some coffee right now. The old man drinks Black Rock coffee.
Eric's getting his.
Eric's brewing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect sound.
Ah.
Just waiting for it to be ready.
Good to see
Do you
everybody.
Ever, sometimes it's been happening lately, and I don't know if it's just because I grind. It must be because I grind my coffee, and then at night, and then for the morning, that sometimes I'll just be laying in bed, and I'll be, I smell coffee, but I know I didn't turn the coffee pot on. Maybe it's the grounded beans. It's
it is. Once you grind it, now you're aerating the oils in it. Yeah. But
yeah,
isn't that isn't that a good aroma?
Smells so, yes, I love it.
Oh, Flying so Ham got some Black Rifle coffee. Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Freedom Fuel.
Yeah.
Good to see you, Gene.
Good time. So I had to, remember I told you, Dina Joe, I had to do some computer stuff for Grammy yesterday.
Yes, how'd that go?
Yeah, it you know, it went pretty good. I took some deep breaths. I took some deep breaths, and I had to open up a banking online with one of our banks. Grammy wanted to be able to do some online.
Uh-huh.
So I said, okay, let me get this set up for you. And she goes, you know,
I think we have it. I think we have it, but we've never used it. So
yeah.
So I go, I'm not sure. So I got on the phone and I went to the automated, the automated answering thing, which I hate with a passion. Nothing puts me over the edge quicker than those things.
Especially
but I took,
when you want to talk to a human. You just have one. Yeah.
So I took some deep breaths and I went through punching buttons, going through the menus, and I came to one that says, Do you need us to tell you your username? And I went, yes. Yes, I do. You know? And so it gave me my username, and I'm going, if I've got a username, that means I've got one. I've got one already set up. So I got the username,
went to
the website, logged in, told them I needed a password. I need to redo my password. Redid my password. Bing, bang, boom. Grammy is set up and ready to rock and roll, baby. It was easy. I did it. I conquered my fears of dealing with that internet stuff. And so she was a happy camper, and it went really smooth. I was so proud of myself. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for your enthusiasm.
Yes, okay. I knew you could do it. I didn't know what you had to do. I thought it was going to be something a little more difficult than that.
I thought it was too.
I didn't know that was, I would have been, oh, piece of cake. You've got this covered. I thought it was something like really computer, like you were doing something.
Well, it could have been. It could have been if I had to go and dog in all the information and all that, but I didn't. It already existed.
That's good.
And Grammy brings me this piece of paper that she had filed away in a file. She goes, here, I think this is some of the information right here. And she shows me this piece of paper from 2001.
Hi, Mr. T. And that's what it was
from 2000. It was that kind of stuff. And boy, did that bring back memories, because I was working for a company called Law Crandall. I had just started with them. And that was the company that I went to England. That's the company that sent me to England. And I had all these old names were written and scribbled on there, and phone numbers of people like Lori Tackett. You know, she was a HR person that just took real good care of us while we were in England. And so all these memories come back. And it was fun looking at this list. It was fun looking at this list of all these names and phone numbers and notes that Grammy took, contacts and all that stuff from back in 2001. And then I started thinking, 2001, my gosh. I mean, there was a time when 2001 I thought would never get here. And now it's in history. It's an old date, 2001.
Yeah.
Cause when I graduated in high school in 1971, good grief, you know, 1971, the thought of the year 2000 or 2001 was just, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's no way it's going to come in, and now here it comes, and it passed. And 21 years ago was 2000. Jeez, good grief. Time is flying. I tell you what, man. There you go. Life is fun. Keep moving forward. You know, another thing, I've some things just never change in time. You know, some things just never change, with no matter how much time goes by. And I was reminded of one of them this morning. I needed to find something. I'm in the kitchen. I need to find a little knickknack or something. I'm going, where is that? I went to the old reliable junk drawer. Do you have a junk drawer in your kitchen?
Kind of. It's organized.
What? You've got an organized junk drawer?
Well, it's two. There's two. There's like one that has all kinds of menus and a file. And there's another file in there that has like my little operating things for little gadgets I have in the kitchen.
Little manual, owner manuals.
Yeah. And then it has my accessories for my whiteboard. But then the other drawer is a little less organized because a man goes in there and messes it up all the time. But it has a hammer and some nails. And
that's
stuff,
what I'm know, talking like right there, baby.
Rubber bands. Stuff.
Excuse me.
Stuff gathers in that drawer.
That's our junk drawer. We have the drawer with all the manuals.
I took all the
it.
Batteries out of there. There used to be batteries in there.
Oh yeah, batteries.
It's not good.
Pair of pliers, screwdriver, tape measure, tacks.
Tape measure. Yes, you there know, is tacks.
Rubber bands. Rubber bands. Maybe a mm-hmm. crunchy or two. A hair crunchy. You know.
No hair crunchies.
Yeah, we got all kinds of stuff in there. I remember
growing
up. You
have those moving things you put under furniture.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
A couple of those. I try to be a little so I know where stuff is. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like I said, it used to all be in one, and then I'm like, no, this drawer is going to be over here and this stuff, but then this stuff's going to be over here.
Well, see, a junk drawer is something that you don't really know what's in it. You just know there's stuff in there. And maybe what you need is in there. You might find something that you need in there. Like you get start digging around and you go, oh, there's that golf pencil. You know, that little tiny pencils for keeping score with golf. Oh yeah, it's got a pencil in there and, you know, a pair of broken scissors.
Yeah.
That you have to tighten them up so they'll cut like maybe twice and then you got to tighten them up again. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Ralph, everything but money.
It used to be really messy. And like I said, there used to be a lot of batteries in there. But I read that that's kind of dangerous to have batteries laying around in drawers and stuff.
Yeah, they have been known to blow up.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, so I don't have that anymore. They're all nice and neat in something else. Hi, dude, John. In a battery daddy? Is that what it's called?
I think so.
It's a little organ. You've seen it before? It's an organizer you put all your batteries in?
Yeah.
Yeah. They had them at Costco and at like at Christmas time, and then they had them on clearance because they didn't sell. Yes, Mr. T, that's where I got it. I got it at Costco. It was on the clearance, and it was like I don't know, $7. I'm like, my batteries are going to be organized. Woo-hoo! I'm so happy.
My battery
too.
You know, it's so true because batteries, I used to have, you know, when I needed a battery, I had to look everywhere to find a battery, you know, and yeah. I finally go, you know what? I've got a little tool bag here, a little bag for tools. I'm going to put all my batteries in here. I have a local place for batteries, and that has worked out fine. I need a battery. I know right where to go. You know, and it's got all my, it's got my AAA, AA, A's, C, D's, you know, my little flat batteries, my 9-volt batteries.
Yeah.
They're all in there. Yeah. So I can find batteries. But yeah. Oh, see, I remember, and this is how our junk drawer is. I was reminded by it by the other day because we get water. We have water. We buy water for our house.
Yeah.
Because we have one of those water coolers.
A. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a water cooler. It takes one of those 5-gallon things, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you buy those things, they got that little seal on the top, you know, where the plunger goes in and it all works. And you can't grip that to take it off. And then plus they use like, you know, it's like the super, you know, space glue. You can't just get them off, you know. It's funny how some things that you think, oh, this is nitric acid. That should be sealed so it can. Oh, look how easy it opened, you know. And then you got something really easy like toothpaste that it takes like, you know, a man and a boy to get the dang thing open. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's backwards. The things that are hard to open are something that you should be able to get to with no problem. And the things that are easy to open, they should have, you know, locks on them so people can't get to them. So anyway, that's how these little water things are. You think, oh, it's water, you know. But no, you can't.
No,
pull.
They're not. They're you can't not easy get to pull off.
No. And so I'm there and I'm struggling with it. And Grammy goes, move, get out of the way. And she tries and she goes, get in the junk drawer and give me those pliers. You know? Uh-huh. And sure enough, I go, in the pliers? And I open it up. Sure enough, there's a pair of pliers sitting there. She knows what's in her junk drawer, you know.
Yeah.
So she takes it out, and I was thinking about junk drawers, and it's like, you know, Yeah, Dina Joe, you said mysterious keys are in there. Yeah, you got keys in there that you don't know that are going
to
unlock.
Yeah, that's
you know?
What I was talking to. Yeah.
That is so
Mr.
true.
Mr. Steele said he has keys, and I'm like, yep, I know those keys. I have no idea what those keys are for.
Well, I grew up, we've always had a drunk drawer. I remember being a little
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, always. And yeah, growing up, we had one too.
And you open it up, and it was a don't open the
it
junk
was messy.
Drawer because it's not only messy, but things are like little traps in there. They open first, something will pop up and snag, so you can't open the drawer.
Or a mouse trap.
Yeah,
they had mouse traps in there, and I remember my mom. They would have, and I don't know if my brothers would put them in there, you know, together. So when you would go in there, they'd snap at you. Probably.
That's now that's me. That's me. Yeah. Yeah, that's something
but
a brother would
do. There was mouse traps in there.
That's exactly what I wrote, you know. And it's, so you try to open it, and something pops up and catches the top of the cabinet, so it won't open. So you got to reach in there and try to figure out what's trapped. And then you finally open it, and then it's like everything in there is spring-loaded, and you got garbage going everywhere. And then once you get it open and you look and find what you want, now you got to try to close it. And there's so much stuff in there. You're pushing it down and you're trying to get it to close. And then
Hi,
when you get
Chris.
It closed, you finally get it closed and it's like, the trap is set for the next
person. That's why I want mine organized.
Yeah. Yeah, but see, to me, organizing, it just takes the fun out of
it's
the joke.
It's semi-organized. One's organized and one's semi-organized. I'll have to take a picture of it. It's semi-organized. When you get into it, it's not as good as it was before.
You know what I did with...
But like you said, there's tacks in there. And I'm like...
Oh, yeah.
What the thing? Close it. And then I put a rubber band around it because it would open up. And then you stick your hand in there and get stuck by a tack. That's not fun.
I don't know how many times through the years I've reached into a junk drawer and had a thumbtack go right in the middle of my finger.
Yes.
Jeez. You know, it's like, who said
I'll have to call it something else. I can't call it a junk drawer, Mr. Still says.
Why?
Because it's organized.
Well, it's an organized junk drawer. It's like an organized mess. I remember you walk into a guy's office.
Yeah, it's not totally organized. It's like, I would say organized mess.
Mm-hmm. I've worked with a ton of people. You walk in. I was always prided myself on having a nice organized desk, you know, when I was a manager and that. Everything was organized. Yeah. I had everything in its place. All the people's and all the papers in their little cubby hole things and this and that. And then I'd walk into, like, we had this guy, he was a brainiac. He was one of our main, he was our executive vice president of engineering. The guy was a brainiac. And you walk in there and it looked like a hurricane hit his office with all the stuff laying around and papers and stuff stacked up and piled everywhere, and his desk's a mess. You couldn't even see the top of his desk in that. And it's like, man, Dick, how do you know where anything is? He goes, don't touch anything. I know exactly where everything's at.
Isn't that funny? When growing up, when we were little, my mom would take us to Dr. Jules. And I remember Dr. Jules, and she actually, that was her doctor when she was little. And he was this old doctor, and his office, you would walk past it, and that's how his office, but it was literally books everywhere, stacked everywhere. That's all I remember as a kid, seeing books stacked, piles of books on the floor everywhere, all everywhere, just books everywhere. It was a mess, but it was, he was a very smart doctor. I like Dr. Jules.
You know, Ralph says, I hate clutter. Yeah, you know, I kind of hate clutter too, but I say that, and I'll even go, you know, I'll even do that to Grammy. Man, how do you know where anything's at? You know, and, you know, because and she goes, have you looked at the studio lately? I mean, this thing has filled up with knickknacks and paddywhags and give your dog a bone stuff. I mean, this thing is like, so, I mean, it's almost like organized chaos in here. I mean, I've got so much stuff in here, and it's like, what the French toast is going on in here? But yeah, I mean, what's clutter to one man or one woman? What's clutter to one person is organized to the person that has the clutter. You know, I don't know. That engineer, though, I mean, he could find anything. You could go in there and go, hey, remember like 10 years ago we were talking about blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, yeah, it's right here. You know, and he just reaches into a stack and reaches like about halfway through it and pulls out a piece of paper. Yeah, here it is right here. How did you do that? How did you know? I've got a memory like a trap. You know, it's funny. Chaos. Junk drawers and chaos. It's kind of, they're kind of symbolic of our lives, though, really, if you think about it. I mean, like your life, Dina Jo, you're kind of organized. You kind of do mm-hmm. things in an organized fashion, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, it's a plan, and you got a little plan and a program, and you go, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you get it done. Me, my life is a helter skelter.
That's how Lewis
is too. W-E-5-200-39, you know, XYZ. I mean, you know, my life is a junk drawer. Yeah. And my organizer is Grammy. She organizes my junk drawer for me. All right, come here. Let's see. Where to now that don't go there. Put this over here. It's like I said, you know, I have somewhere in this house is that safe space where you always put stuff. I'm going to put this in a safe spot so I can always know exactly where it's at.
Yeah.
Well, somewhere in this house is my safe spot, and it has like years of stuff in there, and I don't know where it's at. And then every now and then I'll come across it and go, here's that stuff. I've been looking for this for years, you know? And then I go, oh, well, let me put it back. So now I remember where it's at. And then I turn, walk away, and it's like, where was that? Oh, no. I've lost it. I've lost it again. I take these, I don't believe in when you buy stuff, like I take what do I take for my stomach? Prilosec. I take Prilosec for my, for my acid reflux and all that for my stomach. But I don't take an entire pill. What I do is I've learned that, you know, what I take for medicine isn't what you need to take for medicine. You know, we're all different. And so I like to take, if I'm going to try something, I experiment by like cutting the pill in half. Let me cut this pill in half and see if half the pill gives me the results instead of taking the whole pill. And that's what I do with Prilosec. You know, I've learned that I only have to take half of that pill. I don't need to take the whole pill. So if I buy a thing of 40, I actually have 80 now because I cut them in half.
You know,
powder it up and snort it. Yeah. And so I have these little pill cutters, you know, the little plastic pill cutters. You put it in there, press it down, click, click. I know where one is at right now. I don't know where the other 4 or 5 are at because I put them in a safe spot so I could always find them.
Mary Mac, welcome.
And every time I go to find them, I can't find them, and I got to go out. I end up going and buying new ones, and then I put them someplace. So I got new pill cutters in this house someplace. I don't know where they're at. And Grammy finally took one. She goes, I'm going to take this pill cutter, and I'm going to put it right here. In your little drawer.
Yes,
right here.
In your junk drawer. That is right.
In your junk drawer in the
That's
bathroom.
That's right, Brina.
It's in your junk drawer. Right. It's all funny, man. It's all funny. The things we do.
That's really why I've been trying to have a plate. There's a place for everything. And that's where it goes. Put it in its place. Touch it once. I worked with this guy, and I wish I could remember what his saying was. It was something about, like, don't touch the snake. Something about touching a snake only once. Like, he said, when you touch something, touch it once. Do what you need to do with it, and then put it where it goes. Don't set it down and get something else, and then because you'll never get back to that high solar flare, and put it back where it goes. So put it where it goes right when you're going to go set it down.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do sometimes.
Well, now my shop is an entirely different place.
It's organized.
It's organized. I don't have tools laying around. I'm like that, Dina Jo. I use a tool. I need a screwdriver. I go. I open up my big tool box. I get the, because there it's all organized. My screwdrivers are here. Box and wrenches, pliers. You know, everything's organized. And I get what I need. I use it. I put it right back. Because you could walk out in my shop right now and not see any tools laying out. Everything is in its place. But now here's the kicker. I could go out there and open up the drawer and without touching or anything, just open up the drawer and go, all right, who's got my Phillips screwdriver? You know, I have five different size Phillips screwdrivers there, and I know when one's missing. Grammy, did you take my screwdriver? Oh, I don't know. I think I thought I put it back and it'd be sitting there on her table. Here it is, right here. Yeah, here it is. And I'm like that with my tools. I'm also like that with my music CDs. Yeah. I've got them stacked in a place, you know. They're not organized. They're not alphabeticalized or anything like that. They're just all stacked. But I can walk in. And my movies, my DVDs. I walk in. I can just walk in and glance over there and go, I've got three movies missing. All right, where are those three movies? You know, how did you know you got three movies? Well, I just know. Look, here's there's one spot here. So I'm like that with my tools and that too. I can tell when something's used. Now, I don't know. Why am I like that? I don't know. There's just certain things. Who's Philip? And why do you have his screwdriver?
I know. You know?
Yeah, I've always wondered that. How did he get called a Phillips screwdriver? Was it Philip? Did Philip invent that thing? I don't know. And then with the screw heads, why are there so many different screw heads? I mean, why you got the Phillips, you got the straight, you got the little box.
Well, because people keep making new stuff with different screws.
Oh my God.
That's why Mr. T's in the house. I also got at Costco. Remember that electric screwdriver?
Meow, meow, yes.
Zoom, 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 zoom. And it has all the different little things in it. All the different little heads. You just pluck the thing and put it in there. Did you see that one, Mr. T? And it zoom, zoom. And it has it all there. Oh, I'm like, so I know. And one of them was missing. And I was like, where is my, because I lent it to a person in this
house.
Oh, no.
Hey, Asha.
Put my stuff back.
Mr. T says too, where's Alan? Who? And why has Alan got wrenches? You know, Alan wrench. Why is that Alan wrench? I don't know. Yeah. Boy, I remember when I was a little kid, man, you just did not touch my dad's tools. Hey, he's working on the car, you know, and I walk through the carport. He's working on his car and I pick up a tool. Don't touch that. Oh, I mean, it was like, holy moly, you know. Yeah, you didn't touch that. But
I have an interesting, the Phillips screwdriver was designed by the Phillips company, the company Henry E. Phillips, the founder. The screw head is named after them. Phillips found this shape of drive head provides an easy method of aligning a screw onto a driver bit of production line. There you go.
Well, I got to say that I do prefer a Phillips over a straight, a flat. Yeah, because you got a good, it has a good bite, but you have to use the right size Phillips bit or you're going to strip them out.
Strip it. And that's the worst. You hear that noise and it's like, oh, no.
I hate that. I hate stripping screws out. Yeah.
You can hear it. It's like, nope, that's not the right one. Don't do that. Or you don't have it pushed all the way in tight enough. You got to get that muscle in there.
Especially if you use like they have those impact drivers. You know, you go to use a wrench and it goes, you're really driving it because it's really pushing it hard. You know, oh no, I didn't. And it always strips out right before it reaches its maximum ceiling. You know, it isn't quite, you're trying to put a hinge in and it strips out and it's, the hinge is still a little loose.
You're
a little
welcome, sloppy. Solar player.
You know, still a little sloppy, you know.
I have to hide my stuff. And then one Christmas I have a little turquoise toolbox. Uh-huh. And it has everything in there, like the screwdriver has turquoise on it. So I know when they're missing and they end up somewhere else, that's mine. It should be in my toolbox. Nowhere else. Don't be touching my toolbox, guys.
You go outside and look at Lewis's tools and you see one of those turquoise and you go, hey,
where's my measuring tape?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Mr. Asha from Sound Cave Sound on the phone. Hi, buddy. Good to see you. Asha, are you there?
Hello?
Asha, can you hear us?
From Sound Cave Sound.
Asha, can you hear us?
Yes, we can, mate.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming in loud and clear. You're there.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, 10-4.
We're doing great, brother. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
The connection's not very good.
I'll just pop in quickly and say a quick hello to you guys.
Thank you, Ralph.
I'm hoping he's not in the
right track. Oh, 1 second.
Thanks, man. It's always good to hear from you.
Hi,
you know
it is. Solid, good to see you.
What's going on? What's going on in the over on the other side of the pond there? Asha?
Well, we've got sunshine.
Diving.
The weather's
there
nice. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hold on, let me try and... Let me see if this is better. 1 second.
We're having a little technical difficulty here. It's those solar flares. Not you, solar flare. The solar flare. Go ahead, Asha.
Right, is that better? Yes. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
There we go. Yeah, so how are you guys?
You?
Yeah, I'm good, you know. I'm good. The weather's nice. It's a nice day. The sun's shining.
There you go.
Can't really complain too much. I heard you going on about the tools, though. How protective you are with tools. I know exactly what you like.
I know.
Your tools. You're nothing without your tools.
Don't touch them, right?
That's it. Don't touch your tools.
Don't touch my turquoise tools, man.
That's it. Or you'll be in desperate trouble.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's a definite no.
I'll use that turquoise handled hammer on you if you touch it again.
You're gonna feel the pain of the wrath of the tool.
Yeah, exactly. So you're the same way then. You're the same way then, right?
Definitely. If I've got my stuff with things like that, because you know where they are. Because the thing is, you know when you lend your tools out to somebody. Be like, can I borrow a Phillips or a screwdriver or either way? And you're like, I don't really want to, but because I know you.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And then when you get it back, they put it back in the wrong place and you're just like, And you spend a good half an hour, 25 minutes looking for it. And then your friend, look, where is it? Oh, it's just over here.
Thanks, Daddy. Hey.
You know,
I always say too, if you don't know where to put it away, just leave it over here, and I'll put it away. I'll do it because then I don't have to spend that half an hour trying to figure out where is this exactly.
That's the one.
You know, Asha, I do not loan tools to anybody anymore, and I haven't for decades, because you lend them out and then they're gone. And then you don't have them, you know. And then you say, "Hey, where's that half inch 9/16 box end wrench you borrowed from me? Oh, I gave it back to you. No, I don't have it. No, you didn't. Oh, well, you must have lost it. No,
welcome.
I think
it was. It's like that. It's like now, if you want to talk old school, it's like that with CDs. You try and lend your CD to your friend, and I'm just gonna copy it. So I've got a copy. You're like, I'm not gonna see that back again, am I?
Exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've done that. I've lost movies because of that. Movies and music CDs. And I got to the point where I would write my name on the cover, you know. I'd take the paper out of the cover, I'd write my name on it and shove it back into the holder, you know. And I know Bob next door has some of my movies in his collection. I know he does, because I never got it. I can walk in there and I could go right to him because my name's on it. But he goes, "Oh no, I never borrowed that from you." Oh, you little stinker. All right, dead possums for you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Asha. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. You go ahead, Dina. Go ahead.
I had a girl that actually, she lent me a book, and she made me sign something saying I took the book. She goes, no, I do this with everybody because then I know where they're at and I can get it back. I'm like, are you kidding?
Smart.
I'm like, all right, here you go.
That's a bit too far. I said, you know what? Keep it. I don't need it. That's too far.
I only had it for like a week. I didn't even kind of want to read it then afterwards. I was like, oh.
You know why? Because right. You were afraid you'd forget to give it back to her. And then she'd come hunting you down. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was just like, welcome back, Ryan. So I was just like, whoa, I don't even want, I can't. Yeah, it was good. Here you go. Sign it that I gave it back to you, please. Please sign I gave it back to you. Hi, Chris.
That is so cool. I mean, that's, you know,
like I mean, library. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's like a library. Exactly. Exactly.
But you know what the best one to do, though, is when you borrow somebody's lighter. And then it goes in your pocket, and then you see him again the next day. This is my favorite trick. When I've stolen it from them, and then I give them their lighter back to go and light with a cigarette, or I light their cigarette up with that lighter and see if they notice or not. That's the best move to do it. And the thing is, you never know.
Yeah.
You've got to be smelly on the crazy lady.
You know, there was a time when I'd carry a lighter with me,
crazy lady. Good to
or
see you.
Or a book of matches. I don't smoke, never have smoked, but I got so tired of people asking me, "Hey, man, you got a light? You got a light? Got a light? No, man, I don't have a light. No, I don't." I just started carrying a lighter with me. Hey, man, you got a light? Yeah, here, light their cigarette for them or whatever, and send them on their way. You know.
Yeah.
But lighters. Oh, and another thing too is people are really like when you go like to a bank or something. That's why the pens at banks now are chained to the counter.
Because you know, or when you go to a bookies, they're bad for it as well. Bookies are always like used to have little pens at a bookies. Now you don't get nothing like that now.
Mm-hmm.
Boy. Or they have a big flower taped to the end of it. a big plastic.
It would still go
flower.
Missing. It would still go missing.
How about when you go into those? You're on a trip and you pull into a. You pull into a little store to get something to drink or something and some snacks, and you got to go to the bathroom. So you go, hey, you got a key to the restroom, and they hand you the key, and it's got like a truck tire attached to it. You know.
Yeah, so you might walk away with it.
So you don't walk away with the key. Yeah.
Well, old man and Dean and Eric, much love chatting to you. I've got to get back to doing what I was doing. I just thought I'd just pull up on the side quickly and have a quick
thanks,
5 minutes.
Asha.
With
you.
Oh,
thanks.
Soon we'll actually do a good show and have a good 5 minutes again and chat nonsense about moonshine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, thanks. Thanks for stopping by,
thank
Asha.
Thanks, I've brother. Been listening. Take care,
right,
man.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. That's Asha from Man Cave Sounds. Puts out music on Mixcloud and on WESN. He'll have music on Podbean. He'll put out music. Great music shows, great mixes, very entertaining and a lot of fun. So if you can find him or if you come across him, make sure you jump in and give him a follow and enjoy some of his music. Thank you, everybody, coming into the show. We see a lot of new names. Thank you for coming in and checking us out. We appreciate it. Hit that follow button and come on back. And we're here Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. every morning, Monday through Friday. And we like seeing you come on in and join the pod people. Join the pod people.
Yeah.
That's funny, though, Dina Jo. I've always wanted to buy Grammy her own little toolbox.
Yeah.
You know, and when I go to do it, she goes, don't. That's all right. Don't do it. That's okay. You know, but I think one of these days I'm going to surprise her and get her own little toolbox just so she can have it her own. You know, this is yours. Not that she, you know, I don't mind her. She's really good at getting tools and putting them back. It doesn't bother me, but it's something about having your own little toolbox. You know, if I could have my own little toolbox, I had a real nice toolbox full of tools and my son needed tools for something. I don't know what happened. I don't know how my toolbox ended up in the trunk of his car, but it ended up in the trunk of his car, and then his car got repossessed or something. It got hooked up and taken to the pound. I never saw those tools again.
It's
like, what the French toast happened to my tools, you know? That was a long time ago. But
I really wanted a pink one flying ham, but there was not a pink one to be found in Colorado. So I ended up with turquoise, but it's all right.
Yeah, as long as they're identifiable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet Lewis is afraid to see your turquoise tools mixed with his.
He doesn't even think about it. It's so close. Is it sexist if the toolbox opinion? What?
Sexist if the toolbox opinion? I don't understand. I don't understand what you're saying, Ralph. There's a 22-piece heart set at Walmart socket. A few sockets, a couple of screwdrivers. Good set. It's around 25, 30. Ah,
that is. Hearts on it? That's cute.
Yeah. That is.
Love it. Toolbox is pink. Oh, if the toolbox is pink? And why? You want a pink toolbox, Ralph? Real man carry pink toolboxes, Ralph. That's all I've got to say.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about tools. Grammy's into tools. She really is. And she's always been into tools. And when we first met, I think, and this was before we were married, I think we had only been dating each other for probably a month, 6 weeks, something like that. I'm driving down the road, heading to her house. She's with me. We're driving down the road, you know, doing the speed limit. 35, 40 miles an hour, just a cruising. And there's this object in the middle of the road and we're going. And as we drive by it, she goes, stop, that's a Stanley screwdriver. What? And I slam, you know, I stop and I go, what? She goes, go back. That's a Stanley screwdriver. I go, a Stanley screwdriver? What? Are you kidding? So I back up, I get out of the truck and I go pick it up. Sure enough, it is a Stanley screwdriver. And I am flabbergasted. And I walk to the truck and I go, okay, now before I show it to you, tell me, is it a Phillips or a flathead? She goes, I think it was a flathead. And sure enough, it was a flathead Stanley screwdriver. I go, how in the world did you see that? We drove by it so fast. How did you know that that was a Stanley screwdriver? She goes, I just know my tools. And it's like, holy moly. And do you know, to this day, Dina Jo, I still have that screwdriver in my toolbox. It's still in there. The Stanley screwdriver. And then to find out, she told me later, she goes, well, Stanley screwdrivers are, the handles are black and yellow. What? Are you kidding me? So I went to the Home Depot, to the Stanley tool place, Stanley tool compartment, and sure enough, they all are yellow, black and yellow handles. She amazed me. It was like, holy moly. Yeah, I need to marry this girl. I need to marry her. She knows it's Stanley screwdrivers. And we'll still talk about that. It was so funny. Yeah. She knows her tools. Gotta have your tools, people. Gotta have those tools. Keep your tools organized. You never know. You never know. Another thing I hate not being able to find when I'm working is a straight edge, like a box opener, something like that, something with a razor so you can open a box or something. Oh, I hate looking for knives. So I got knives strategically placed around so I can
a letter opener.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And one thing you don't take or touch of Grammy, scissors. You do not touch her scissors. And there's two reasons. One, she knows if I take her scissors, I'll lose them. So I don't touch her scissors. And plus two, I'll take her scissors I'll take a pair of scissors that she uses for yarn or material, and I'll cut cardboard with it. You know, you don't take.
No.
You don't take those scissors. Into it. Yeah. Ralph, can I just carry a sword? Yeah. Oh man, yeah. So leave your wife's scissors alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she don't want to see you out there stripping wires with her scissors. Her scissors that are for cutting silk. You know.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I know how she feels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to watch that stuff.
Well, I know scissors can be used for different things, like cutting hair if you're a hairdresser, or for sewing, like in Grammy's case. Scissors could even be used, like, cooking food, but it's got to be a special kind of scissors.
I have them in my drawer for
like cutting paper.
Yep. For cutting the backbone out of a chicken.
Yep.
They're meat scissors. Mm-hmm.
And I think not all scissors are created the same.
Nope.
No, they're not. Their cutting edge is the angles are different depending on what you need to cut. Yeah. Oh. Uh-huh. Yeah, you don't use things for material and that kind of stuff for cutting leather and all that kind of stuff. You're right, Ari. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a special thing for it. Yeah. Well, my goodness. Good topics. Good conversation. Fun conversations. But you know what time it is. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? It's time for Dina Jo to take control. Presenting music history.
Thank you, Nova.
Sharing information on artists and their music.
Thanks, Merrimack.
Here she is, Dina Jo.
Thank you, Nova.
Thanks for the countdown, Steels. Yeah, baby.
All right. Thanks, guys. We are Tuesday, May 10th. We're going to continue with the big band, small band, swing era. And we are going to start off with Cab Calloway and his orchestra. She's tall, she's tan, and she's terrific, is the song. And Cab Calloway III was an American jazz singer, songwriter, dancer, band leader, conductor, and actor. He was associated with the Cotton Club in Harlem, where he was a regular performer and became a popular vocalist with the swing era. His niche of mixing jazz and vaudeville won him acclaim during a career that spanned over 65 years. Calloway was a master of engineering scant singing and led one of the most popular dance bands in the United States from the early 30s to the late 40s. Calloway was the first African-American musician to sell 1 million records from a single and have a nationally syndicated radio show. In 1993, Calloway received the National Medal of Arts from the United States Congress. He posthumously received the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 2008. His song, Minnie the Moocher, was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1999. And he was, added to the Library of Congress National Recording Registry in 2019. He is also inducted into the Big Band and Jazz Hall of Fame in the International Jazz Hall of Fame in 2020. Here's Cab Calloway with She's Tall, She's Tan, and She's Terrific. Hi, Marcos. Hi, Randy Third.
You leaving us, Mr. T?
Bye, Mr. T. Have a good day.
Cab Calloway and his orchestra. She's tall, she's tan, she's terrific. What do you got to say, Cab?
There's a new gal in the town that really knows her way around.
There he is, Cab Calloway. What are the Dina Jo? You grew up with the turntables the record sizes. So what were the record sizes that you remember? The RPMs.
Oh, I was it the I am not is that the 40 I was reading about 45. That. 45s, yeah.
45, the yeah, that was the little one.
The big one, the, just the big LPs and the 45s.
Do you recall what the 45, the big ones were 33s, and D-Mac, yeah. This 78. They had a 78, and these things were flying around the turntable. They were going so fast. But this cut from the Cab Calloway is off the 78 record, and 78s were like two times, almost three times thicker than a 33 LP was. Those things were thick, big thick records.
Oh, wow.
Really old ones, yeah. The 78s, yeah. Anyway, I was just. Wanted to point that out about the different record sizes.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right. Because some of them I was reading and it said RPM. So yeah, I didn't quite, when it was saying the weird ones, understand that, but now.
Oh, and Don corrected. Don said it exactly. It's a 33 and a third. Yeah. 33 and a third. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Perfect. All right. Number two on the list today is going to be Tommy Dorsey. Oh, Look at Me Now. Vocals with Frank Sinatra. Tommy Francis Dorsey Jr. was an American jazz trombonist, composer, conductor, band leader of the big band era. He was known for a sentimental gentleman of swing because of his smooth-toned trombone playing. His theme song was I'm Getting Sentimental Over You. His technical skill on the trombone made him renowned for among other musicians. He was the younger brother of bandleader Jimmy Dorsey. After Dorsey broke with his brother in the mid-30s, he led an extremely successful band from the late 1930s to into the 50s, inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame in 1989, inducted into the Big Band and Jazz Hall of Fame in 1981. Frank Sinatra refused to be part of his memorial show, saying, "I didn't like him. It would be inappropriate for me to appear on his memorial show." Oh. Buddy Rich refused to appear because Sinatra wouldn't appear. All right. Here is Tommy Dorsey with Oh, Look at Me Now, vocals by Frank Sinatra.
I'm not the guy who cared about love, and I'm not the guy who cared about fortunes and such. Never cared much.
That don't even sound like Frank Sinatra.
I never knew.
He's so young.
The technique of kissing. I never knew the thrill I could get from your touch. Never knew much.
Look at you now.
That's the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra. You're Oh, Look at Me Now. Featuring Frank Sinatra. I don't know who the female singer is.
I was gonna say, it doesn't say. Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't say.
And Tron Cat down in chat mentions this having the I Love Lucy vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's, the old songs and that kind of old television programming. Again, too, a lot of this sound, a lot of this music, when I was a kid, we were exposed to it because it was in cartoons. It was in the Saturday cartoons. They used it as background music and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was, Look at Me Now, the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra with Frank Sinatra and some unknown female artist.
Mm. Okay. Now this next one, what is this word? And I was going to look it up and I totally forgot. I was going to look it up on how to pronounce it. First of all, Artie Shaw, I didn't know much about him, but I read a whole lot. He was big in this era. And it's Artie Shaw and Begin the
Bugine?
Begin? Bugine?
Bugine? So, I don't know.
That's what I didn't know either. What is that word? What does it mean? Begin. Let's type it in the chat and I'll read about this. Artie Shaw was an American clarinetist, composer, bandleader, and actor and author of both fiction and nonfiction books. Widely regarded as one of jazz's finest clarinetists, Shaw led one of the United States' most popular big bands in the late 30s and early 40s. Though he had numerous hit recordings, he was perhaps known for his 1938 recording of Cole Porter's Begin the Bugin. Before the release of Bugin, Shaw and his fledgling band had languished in relatively obscurity for over 2 years, and after its release, he became a popular pop artist within short order. The record eventually became one of the era's defining recordings. Musically restless, Shaw was also an early proponent of what became known much later as the third stream music, which blended elements of classical and jazz forms and traditions. Shaw also recorded in with small jazz groups drawn from within the ranks of big bands that he led. He served in the U.S. Navy from 1942 to 1944, during which time he led morale-building band that toured the South Pacific. Following his discharge in 1944, he returned to the lead, a band, in 1945. Following the breakup of that band, he began to focus on other interests and gradually withdrew from the world of being a professional musician and major celebrity, although he remained a force in popular music and jazz before retiring from the music completely in 1954. Here is Artie Shaw with Begin the Bugwin.
I don't know. Okay. But here's the song.
B-G-I-N-E.
And Artie Shaw was a clarinet player.
And that word that y'all are talking about right there, sounds like it's got a French vibe to me.
It might, Eric. It might. You know, this is an instrument that you just don't hear a lot of anymore, is the clarinet. And it was big back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Artie Shaw, what great music. Artie Shaw, Begin the Bugwin, or how are you saying? I don't know. I think it does. I'm like you, Eric. I think it's some kind of French word or something.
Oh, here we go. Pronounce Bugwin.
Bugwin?
Begin.
Begin? Begin? Begin?
Steals is helping us out.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I totally forgot. I have a pronouncing thing, and I totally forgot I was going to look it up.
Oh, Begin.
Bad.
Ah.
Thank you. All right. Number four is going to be Les Brown and his orchestra. Sentimental Journey is the song. Lester Raymond Brown was an American jazz musician who led the big band Les Brown and his band of renown for nearly seven decades from 1938 to 2000s. In 1945, his band brought Doris Day into prominence with her recording of Sentimental Journey. The song's release coincided with the end of World War II in Europe and became an unofficial homecoming theme for many veterans. The band had nine other number one hit songs. Brown was inducted into North Carolina's Music Hall of Fame in 2010. Here is Les Brown and his orchestra with Sentimental Journey.
Troncat, I still do that today. Dee, 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 dee. That's how I sing songs. Sentimental Journey, Les Brown. Now, does this sound familiar to anybody? It does to me. This is a very popular song. Oh, Marty says her mom used to sing this song to her.
Hi, Rockin' Al. Good to see you.
Sometimes these big bands had as many as maybe 10, 15 members to 30 members. They were either small or very big bands.
And I kind of like that. I like all the different instruments.
Yeah. Les Brown with Sentimental Journey. Yeah, you get your girl out there on the dance floor. You just kind of snuggle up and dance slow to Sentimental Journey. Thanks, Les. And if you were lucky, you got a little smooch.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to George Gershwin with I've Got Rhythm. George Gershwin was an American pianist and composer who composed both popular and classical genres. He began his career as a song plunger, but soon started composing Broadway's theater works with his brother Ira Gershwin and Buddy DeSalva. Gershwin moved to Hollywood and composed numerous film scores. He died in 1937 of a malignant brain tumor. His compositions have been adapted from use in film and television, with several becoming jazz standards recorded and covered in many variations. Here is George Gershwin with I've Got Rhythm.
Did you say he was a plumber?
That's what it said. Plunger. Song plunger. I got to see what that means.
All right. Here. Oh, and by the way, this song, I Got Rhythm, it's his song, but it's being sung by the great Ella Fitzgerald.
Okay, I got it.
Days can be sunny with never a sigh. Don't need what money.
Look, nobody had a voice as silky and smooth as Ella Fitzgerald.
Birds in the trees sing their day full of song. Why shouldn't we sing along? I'm chipper all the day, happy with my lot. How do I get that way? Look at what I've got. I got rhythm. I got music. I got my man. Who could ask for anything more? I got daisies.
George Gershwin's song "I've Got Rhythm" being performed by Ella Fitzgerald.
Who could ask for anything more?
I'm kind of embarrassed, Steels. I should have known that. I didn't know that. The mute. I've known them as mutes that are on the trumpets and trumpets and trombones. Any of the brass instruments that use this mute to change the sound on their thing. Yeah. It's really very popular in its use.
Hi, Billy.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for clearing this up for us.
Yeah, thank you. Put them in there at the same time. So that was number five. Number six is Coleman Hawkins. Put your head on my shoulder. Coleman Randolph Hawkins, nicknamed Hawk and sometimes Bean, was an American jazz tenor saxophonist, one of the first prominent jazz musicians on his instrument. Coleman Hawkins was called the father of the tenor sax. He was a pioneer in this instrument and started his career with blues singers Mammy Smith in 1921. In 1923, he played with Fletcher Henderson until 1934. And in his orchestra, he was part of Louis Armstrong in 1924. He was shortly after this busy period that Hawkins fell into a deep depression and heavy drinking. And his recording output began to wane. His last recording was in 1967. Hawkins died of liver disease on May 19th of 1969. Here is Coleman Hawkins with Put Your Head on My Shoulder.
Talk about going down memory lane.
That you love me too. Put your lips next to mine, dear. Won't you
this is a great song, Steels.
Baby.
Cole Coleman Hawkins. Put your hand on my shoulder.
Maybe.
You know, we've said it before when we've talked about old Motown music that, you know, there were the songs in that were very romantic. You know, when they wanted to be romantic, they were romantic. They're not calling women hoes and bees and all this. And I mean, they were romantic. Yeah. And the same thing with this era of music.
Crooners.
They were romantic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good song.
Yeah. All right. So lastly, today we're going to end with Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World. Louis Daniel Armstrong, nicknamed Satchmo or Satch or Pops, was an American trumpeter and vocalist. He among the most influential figures in jazz. His career spanned 5 decades and different eras in the history of jazz. With his instantly recognizable, rich, gravelly voice, Armstrong was also an influential singer and skillful improviser, blending the lyrics and melody of the song. He was also skilled at scat singing. Armstrong is renowned for his charismatic stage presence and voice, as well as his trumpet playing. By the end of Armstrong's life, his influence had spread to popular music in general. Armstrong was one of the first popular African-American entertainers to cross over to a widely popular mostly white audience. He rarely publicly popularized his race to his dismay of fellow African-Americans, but took a well-publicized stand for desegregation in Little Rock crisis. He was able to access the upper echelons of American society at the time when it was difficult for Black men. Here is Louis Armstrong with What a Wonderful World. Welcome to CY.
Just sit back and enjoy this song.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
We need more of that today.
Yeah, for sure.
I played that for Steels because his comments, he said he reminded him of his grandparents. So what a great song. What a great song. Good job, Dina Jo. Fantastic.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's a great song. What a great song to end it today, too. It was perfect. The one thing that the one thing you need to realize that these people like Louis Armstrong and Cab Calloway's and Duke Ellington's and all these great, great musicians and composers back then, you know, they knew racism. I mean, they really knew what racism was. They faced it every stinking time. I mean, they'd go to play someplace and they couldn't go through the front door. They couldn't go through the front door. They couldn't eat in the main dining room. They had to be shuffled in through the back. Nobody wanted to see the black people coming in. I mean, they understood and was confronted with true racism. So I get a little upset today and nowadays when people talk about racism and that. You haven't got a clue what it was like and what it is, what it really is. You know, these people are just they went through it. They were the ones that broke through that and fought through it and still produced their magic, their music. They didn't let anything get in the way of their music, you know. So just it makes it for me anyway, it makes their music even that more special because of the things that these people went through and fought through to be able to perform their music, do what their hearts told them to do. So again, I just want to round of applause to those people. Yeah. And another big thank you, Dina Jo, for bringing this.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mr. Snows. Yeah, I was reading a lot about that, and I'm trying to remember. It wasn't the Cotton Club. It was the Savoy. I think it was called the Savoy. And they were, when I was looking through the music, and there was this one, it was like a video, and they were talking to, now they're grown, you know, people that weren't allowed in, and they were just kids, and how they would just stand outside of the venues and listen to the music and dance and enjoy it, or stand on their balconies and hear the music, you know, right, the people, you know, because they weren't allowed to go in. So exactly. Yeah. But they were out there dancing and having a good time.
You know, what really gets me is their drive to perform their music. They didn't let anything stop them. They just had a love for music, and by golly, they're going to play. They're going to create their music and touch hearts and touch lives and touch souls. So, you know, hats off to those people. They were the true fighters right there. The true fighters for civil rights right there. Those people. So good job, man. What a great music segment. Mm-mm-mm. And that song, I worked with a guy, an old guy. His name was Ray, and that Louis Armstrong song would come on the radio every now and then. We'd have playing in the background, and when it came on, it didn't matter what was going on in the office. He would just go, "Hey, everyone, be quiet, Louis Armstrong," and the place would just be dead silent while Ray enjoyed Louis Armstrong and "What a Wonderful World." So and then when the song was over, he'd go, "Okay, back to work." It was great. good times, good times. That's why we love. That's why we love music, man. This is like these last couple of days for me have been just walking down memory lane, and I'm sure for a lot of people because you know, Marty, we're just about out of time. I take your call, but we're just about out of time. So I mean, it's just like it brings back all kinds of memories when you're kids and your grandparents, and I mean. Man, what great memories all this stuff is. My mom listening to my dad listening to this stuff, you know. And, you know, you envision them, your mom and your dad, you know, dancing in the living room, you know, when the slow song would come on, they'd dance. You know, it was just good times, man. Good times. Music. You need to fill your lives with music. You loved it before. You still love it. You just need to turn it on. Just turn it on, people. Turn on the music. What can I say? I guess nothing. That's it. There's just nothing more that I can say about that. You know what I'm talking about, Dina Jo? Eric, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. So hey, we're out of here.
It's National Shrimp Day, guys. Go eat some shrimp.
Shrimp! Eat that shrimp! Get some good Cajun shrimp going, man. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and joining us today. It's been a great show. We love seeing all of you. Come back tomorrow for our Wednesday show, our midweek show. Thank you for joining us and have a great day. And we're going to turn it over to Eric to plug some shows that are coming up. It's all yours, buddy.
Oh,
well, coming up on Podbean Live, you've got Milk Dog and Jeff Moore and Solid Blue Sister to round out the daytime lineup. And then in prime time, no telling who might show up there. If I guess we could be on the lookout for whether it's Michael Key or maybe one of the other podcasts coming up later, like T-Gun or Outside of Normal, or maybe Chuck and Billy might decide to surprise us. But definitely we'll be back tomorrow morning after Ralph wraps up his morning podcast, and Friends coming up a little bit later this week.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, thanks everybody for all the likes, all the kind words, all the gifts that you send, the little Podbean gifts and that. Thank you for your support. We just love and appreciate all of you. We do this for you. We're here for you. Help me help you. What was that? Jerry Maguire or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, we love doing this because we like reaching out and getting your days going, putting smiles on your faces, and just putting some love in your heart so you can get out there and face the world and just have a skip in your step, you know. And now take that and pass it on to others. Pass it on to others. Go out there. Be kind. Be courteous. Do random acts of kindness. Try to make 5 people smile today. Try to make 5 people smile. And you'll have fun doing it. Me and Grammy, when we go out, we are on a mission to make people laugh and giggle. And we have a good time. If we're dealing with somebody at a counter and they're kind of grumpy in that, we are on a mission to make them smile and to make them laugh. And we're pretty good at doing it. We're pretty successful. Yeah, that's what we do. All right. And now comes everybody's favorite part. A final word from our own little Cracker Jack, Dina Joe.
Be the reason someone smiles today. Let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate you guys' support so much with the music. Sometimes I can't read, and I appreciate you guys. I love you. Thank you so much for putting up with me.
I'm hanging around with me too long.
I know. See you guys tomorrow around Podbean. Bye.
Dina Joe. Go out and get you some Cracker Jacks. Go buy you a box of Cracker Jacks. Dina Joe, you remind me of that old little kid, that little kid that used to be on the box of Cracker Jacks with the little sailor outfit. Get some Cracker Jacks, yeah. Remember those? They'd have a little prize in the center. Yeah, that was some good snacking right there, Cracker Jacks. Hey, have a great day, everybody. Get out and have some fun. Come back tomorrow, and we'll be looking for you. And just have a great day, everybody. Great day. Our music's done. We're out of here. Have a good one. We love you. Have a great Tuesday. See you.
Love you. God
Wednesday.
Bless you.
Bye.
Let's see Ron Podbean. We'll do it again next time.
Later, Gators.